Man, they are churning out 30 for 30s on ESPN like it is nobody's business. They had another new one, I think it was last night or tonight, on Tommy Morrison.
I know. That looks interesting. Well, this one was really interesting, and that is the scabs of 1987. That was the year that the NFL went out on strike, and they didn't want to, the owners did not want to have a repeat of 1982. And for those who didn't follow the NFL back then, they had had four stoppages of work in the 70s and the 80s. This was going to be the fourth one in 87. And as Tech Schramm explained on this 30 for 30, they were not going to lose more than half their season or close to half their season like they did in 82. That was the year that they only played nine games and they had like the Super Bowl tournament at the end. So the NFL owners, as labor peace was going by the wayside, they started putting together a plan to have replacement players and started scouting and told their scouts to go out and find basically another 53-man roster. Or at the time, I think they had 40-some-odd man rosters. And sure enough, the talks fell apart during the summer and as the season started in 1987. And after two games of the regular season, the NFLPA announced that they were on strike. The NFL owner said, okay, fine. We will go out and get replacement players. And 2 weeks later, they put these rosters together. Some of them were players who had been through training camp just with them a few months before. Some were with guys who never got a chance to come to training camp. They were former college players, some of them, who haven't touched a football in 3 years. They were off working in construction or as architects. I mean, they scoured the country. And this 30 for 30 is really interesting because it talks about the cowboy influence, which was very heavy on this. Tech Schramm was very heavy-handed in trying to break the players' union. And on the Washington Redskins, guys like Anthony Sagnella, Danny Burmeister, Ed Rubert. You remember those names?
No.
No one knew who they were then, and many don't know who they are now. Eric Coyle was the starting center for Washington. Well, they put together a really good team because Bobby Bethard, Charlie Casserly, the assistant GM, Bethard was the GM, and Joe Gibbs all worked together because they saw that they didn't know how long this was going to go. Well, this is going to go two games, five games, and if we're trying to get into the playoffs, if these games count, let's try to get the best team possible together. Not all the teams treated it that way. The Redskins did. They also had the idea that we are not going to let players cross the picket lines because we don't want a divided locker room when the regular players come back. Many other teams, in fact, just about every other team, had players crossing the picket lines, including Dallas, where by the end of it, the scab players played three games. By the end of it, there were 21 Cowboys who crossed the picket line. Some like Randy White because he said he never wanted to strike, never wanted to miss out on basically $30,000 a week. He had a big contract. He was at the end of his career. Some of them were reminded, like Tony Dorsett, who they showed the scene in Dallas at Valley Ranch, and the day they went out on strike, there's all the Cowboys holding placards, including Tony Dorsett. And I'd forgotten all about this. Do you remember Tony Dorsett holding an I'm on strike sign saying, hey, where's Captain Scab? Where's Captain Scab? And he's talking about Randy White.
Wow, really?
And here comes Randy White in a pickup truck, and hey, there's that Captain Scab in there. So it's really tense between those two and some others. And just a week later, here's Tony Dorsett crossing the picket line because Tech Schramm reminded him and a few other Cowboys like Ed Too Tall Jones, if you look closely at your contract, you have an annuity that is paid after you're retired on down the line. This is millions of dollars that you're going to be paid on down the line. And if you're in breach of your contract, if you don't show up to work, you're in breach of your contract, and that's null and void.
Wow.
So that's what brought them across the picket line.
It would bring me too.
Yeah. And so it's really tense in the northern cities, as you can imagine. Union towns like Philadelphia, they played their first game, showed players walking in, having things thrown at them. There were fights that were breaking out. When the Washington Redskins players went to their first day of practice, they came in on a bus, and they had to meet up with the regular Redskins who were picketing. And it got pretty violent here. The first verse, the first voice you will hear is Dexter Manley. The last one is Darryl Grant, the two defensive linemen for the Redskins back then.
Darryl Grant had his armor fatigue on, like the '60s, the Black Panthers or something, you know.
A chartered bus carrying the new non-union Redskins made its way down Redskins Lane.
It's getting scary. I'll tell you what, I think people are getting mad.
Yeah. We had heard all kinds of rumors about, you know, what was going to happen. And as we took the right to go through the gates at Old Redskin Park, we're riding into God knows what.
In front, strikers position themselves in its path. While the men on the bus nervously looked out the window, things began to get nasty.
Sit down, guys. Are you guys?
You, you know, come off this bus, we'll beat the living out of you.
Darryl Grant was being egged on by McEwen.
F these guys, man. Who are they to call me a scab? They don't know me. Let them in the fence. Let's go.
Go f*** yourself, you rich, fat
I'm just kind of staring down, and out of the blue, boom.
Defensive end Darryl Grant actually broke one of the windows.
It just ran and shattered, and all of the glass fell out. And then I heard a bunch of girls screaming on that bus, and they were crying.
Shooting. Ah, ah.
Well, they weren't shooting, but that was Darryl Grant who broke a window. And the players screaming were not girls. They were the scab players. You can imagine how frightening that was to look down and see those guys and, you know, basically, yeah, challenging them to a fight as they were coming in on that bus.
It's very dangerous to cross any picket line, much less one made up of NFL players.
Yeah, 300-pound guys. So the Redskins took it seriously. They came out the first week. They beat the Cardinals, who had Roy Green. They had these guys who, you know, were working at a hardware store the week before covering Roy Green and did a really good job. They beat them. They beat the Giants, who had basic give up on showed Parcells saying, what are you going to do? I have no idea how we're going to put this team together. And they played like it. They went 0-3. But the Redskins went 2-0 in their first two games. And then they played the Cowboys. They knew the regular players were coming back. The strike was basically over. But the owner said, it's too late for you guys to come back and play this week, so we're going to have one more week of basically scab ball. And it was the Redskins, zero players crossing the picket line against the Cowboys, who had 21 players crossing the picket line. And the Redskins beat them 13-7. The Redskins go on to win the NFC East. They go on to win the Super Bowl that year, powered by that 3-0 stretch of scab players. Some of them stayed on the team. Like, you remember Craig McEwen? He played for the Redskins for several years after that. Yeah, remember that name, tight end, fullback? He played. Anthony Allen played. But all the all those scab players, none of them got Super Bowl rings. They were a little bitter about that. Some of them did, I think, that stayed on the roster, and there was like two or three that did. But for the Cowboys, it really helped. You know, they already went through the white hogaboom thing.
Yeah.
By the way, Danny crossed the picket line.
I know.
He had to. He had a family to support. they already went through that. But now they went through this of some players were in, some players were out. And they say it's one of the big reasons why that very next year Tony Dorsett was traded to Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty lethal in the locker room. It also turned out it was basically the last big power play by Tex Schramm, because by 1988 and then 89, the offseason, that's when Jerry bought the team.
Yep.
And Tex and Tom were out. Anyway, it's fascinating to look at the chaos and the instability of could you imagine if we did that today?
No.
I don't think it would happen. I just don't think anyone would watch it, and a lot of people didn't, but the fans in Washington really got into it, and they capture that in this 30 for 30, is that they were really into it in D.C. and watching these guys win.
All right, sounds fascinating. The new 30 for 30 on ESPN.